CD 2.
There was a gurgle from the cradle. "What name are you giving her?" said Agnes. "You'll have to wait," said Magrat. It made some sort of sense, Agnes admitted, as she followed Magrat and the maids into the hall. In Lancre, you named children at midnight so that they started a day with a new name. She didn't know why it made sense. It just felt as though, once, someone had found that it worked. Lancrestians never threw anything away that worked. The trouble was, they seldom changed anything that worked, either. She'd heard that this was depressing King Verence, who was teaching himself kinging out of books. His plans for better irrigation and agriculture were warmly applauded by the people of Lancre, who then did nothing about them. Nor did they take any notice of his scheme for sanitation, i.e. that there should be some, since the Lancrestian idea of posh sanitation was a non-slippery path to the privy and a mail-order catalogue with really soft pages. They'd agreed to the idea of a royal society for the betterment of mankind, but since this largely consisted of as much time as Sean Ogg had to spare on Thursday afternoons, mankind was safe from too much betterment for a while. Although Sean had invented draft excluders for some of the windier parts of the castle, for which the king had awarded him a small medal. The people of Lancre wouldn't dream of living in anything other than a monarchy. They'd done so for thousands of years and knew that it worked. But they'd also found that it didn't do to pay too much attention to what the king wanted, because there was bound to be another king along in 40 years or so, and he'd be certain to want something different. And so they'd have gone to all that trouble for nothing. In the meantime, his job, as they saw it, was to mostly stay in the palace, practice the waving, have enough sense to face the right way on coins, and let them get on with the ploughing, sowing, growing and harvesting. It was, as they saw it, a social contract. They did what they always did, and he let them. But sometimes he kinged. In Lancre Castle, King Verence looked at himself in the mirror and sighed.
Mrs. Ogg, he said, adjusting his crown, I have, as you know, a great respect for the witches of Lancre, but this is, with respect, broadly a matter of general policy, which I respectfully submit, is a matter for the king.
He adjusted the crown again, while Spriggins the butler brushed his robe.
We must be tolerant, really, Mrs. Ogg. I haven't seen you in a state like this before.
They go round setting fire to people, said Nanny, annoyed at all the respect.
Used to, I believe, said Verence.
And it was witches they burned.
Verence removed his crown and polished it with his sleeve in an infuriatingly reasonable manner.
I've always understood they set fire to practically everybody, he said. But that was some time ago, wasn't it?
Our Jason heard them preaching once down in Orhulan, and they say he was saying some very nasty things about witches, said Nanny.
"Sadly, not everyone knows witches like we do," said Verence, with what Nanny in her overheated state thought was unnecessary diplomacy.
"And our Wayne said they tries to turn folk against other religions," she went on. "Since they opened up that mission of theirs, even the Offlarians have upped sticks and gone. I mean, it's one thing saying you've got the best god, but saying it's the only real one is a bit of a cheek, in my opinion." I know where I can find at least two any day of the week. And they say everyone starts out bad and only gets good by believing in Om, which is frankly damn nonsense. I mean, look at your little girl. What's her name going to be now?
Everyone will know in 20 minutes, Nanny, said Verence smoothly.
Ha!
Nanny's tone made it clear that Radio Og disapproved of this news management.
Well, look. The worst she could put her little hand up to her age is a few grubby nappies and keeping you awake at night. That's hardly sinful to my mind.
But you never objected to the gloomy brethren, Nanny, or to the wanderers, and the balancing monks came through here all the time.
But none of them object to me, said Nanny.
Verence turned. He was finding this disconcerting. He knew Nanny Ogg very well, but mainly as the person standing just behind Granny Weatherwax and smiling a lot. It was hard to deal with an angry Og.
I really think you're taking this too much to heart, Mrs. Og, he said.
Granny Weatherwax won't like it,
Nanny played the trump card. To her horror, it didn't.